were,
Legend said. Tella looked down at the map. The words, "He's right," hovered over the image of the infested carriage house. And yet, she still felt reticent to enter. If it's a glamour, why are you ripping the boards off the door?
There's a mental magic attached, like the illusions I use. We have to treat this as if it's real to get through.
Tella clamped her mouth shut as they stepped inside. She told herself that none of it was real. The rotting scent snaking up her nose was in her mind. Whatever squished beneath her slippers was not fungus. The yellow spiders crawling over her arms were not really there.
This is the oldest magic I've ever felt,
Legend trailed off, and for a moment, she thought she saw something like admiration in his eyes as the walls around them begin to crumble and a waterfall of spiders poured down from the ceiling. Tella fought the urge to scream, lest one, or more, landed in her mouth. Legend captured her hand and propelled her forward through an avalanche of spiders. She felt their tiny legs crawling everywhere as the murderous spiders multiplied, covering every inch of her skin. Tella didn't know if death by illusion was possible. Then she remembered what Jax had said about needing to summon faded places with blood. The wound on her palm from when she'd exchanged blood with Jax was nearly healed, but Tella imagined she could reopen it with her nails. She pulled her hand free from Legend's and scratched her healing wound, drawing a fresh surge of blood.
Drop it there,
instructed the map, pointing to an eruption of spiders in the corner of the room. There were too many for Tella to make out a symbol, but she obeyed the map, and instantly the spiders, the fetid ground, and the decaying walls all vanished. One blink, and the world was falling apart. And then she and Legend were in a courtyard made of sandstone walls covered in star jasmine that smelled as sweet as it looked. Tella took a timid breath. She wasn't sure if this was another illusion or the faded library, but it was extremely preferable to that cascade of killer spiders. Above them, half the sky was intense with sunlight, while the other half shimmered with stars. At one end of it was a decorative sandstone arch with two massive statues on either side, formed of sparkling peach sand. The statue's lower halves were feline, while their torsos were human, one male, one female. Their heads would have appeared human as well if not for the curving horns poking out from the tops of them. The male statue opened his mouth.
Welcome, fellow immortal and young mortal.
We hope you find what you seek, added the female. But be warned, there is a small tithe to step inside and read our books.
Both statues' mouths slammed shut with an audible snap. Tella's jaw crashed to a close as well. She fought to part her lips, to open her mouth to speak, but she couldn't. She turned to Legend. He shook his head, his mouth as closed as hers. Their silence must have been the cost of entering the library. Chapter 41. Donatella. The silence inside the immortal library was absolute and alive. Tella could feel it swallowing up her footsteps and sucking up the sound of flipping book pages and flickering wicks inside hurricane glasses. But the worst was the feel of the silence, keeping her lips pressed painfully shut. Legend reached out and took her hand once more. His eyes silently promised that they were in this together, and then he pressed the world's softest kiss to her knuckles. She felt it from her fingertips all the way down to her toes, reminding her there were good uses for closed lips, as they ventured under an archway made of books and farther inside the faded place. Everything smelled of dust trapped in light, cracked leather, and wayward dreams. Breathing in and out through her nose, Tella looked down at the map of all. It had transformed once they'd entered the library. It now revealed an entire kingdom made of books that could have either been a book lover's nightmare or their wish come true. There was a broken spine castle, an unread river, a ravine of ripped pages, a poetry valley, a set of novel mountains, and then, finally, the Rusica and books for advanced imaginations. The most direct route to this room was through an area referred to as the zoo. Tella wondered if it would have books in cages, but the zoo didn't even have bookshelves. The volumes all roamed freely in this room as they clung together to take the shapes of different animals. Tella spied bookish rhinos, papier-mâché elephants, and very tall giraffes that milled about in an oddly peaceful silence. The elephant sniffed at Tella with its leathery gray trunk of books, while a paper bunny made of loose pages noiselessly hopped after legend. The bunny continued to follow as they left the zoo and reached the reading chamber, where books formed couches and chairs and one massive throne. A warning flashed on the map. Do not sit on the throne. Tella was instantly curious, but not enough to test the map, especially when they were so close to what they wanted. According to the map, all they had to do was climb the staircase made of books, which rested behind the throne, and they would find the Rusica room. The steps were too narrow for them to walk side by side. Tella reluctantly released Legend's hand as she started to climb. The bookish stairs were the type of steep that made it feel treacherous to turn around. They were unsteady, shifting beneath her slippers. But Legend touched her back or her shoulder every few steps, letting her know that he was still there. He was with her, and he wasn't leaving, even though she couldn't see or hear him. It made her wonder at all the other things he'd said to her in the past without words. By the time they reached the top of the steps and the room with the Rusica, Tella was grateful the library swallowed up sound. It didn't enhance her other senses, but it made her more aware of them, and more aware of Legend as he came up beside her and silently brushed his fingers against hers. The movement was quick and subtle, and she might not have noticed it if she'd been standing there waiting for him to speak, rather than paying attention to his silence. The map didn't give any indication of where in the room the Rusica rested, forcing her and Legend to split up as they searched. Many of the volumes had spines covered in numbers, symbols, or languages she didn't read. There were also a few spines with titles that she would have liked to read, had she not felt pressed for time. Mermaids and Mermen and How to Become One. 10 Essential Rules of Time Travel. Shapeshifting for Beginners. Cakes, Cakes, and More Cakes. Turning Your Shadow into a Pet. Love, Death, and Immortality. She might have picked up the book on cakes or immortality, had the latter not been sitting right next to a thick, flesh-colored volume with one word crudely stitched into the spine. Rusica. The book slid out from the shelf in a cloud of red-tinged dust that made the tips of Tella's fingers tingle as she took it. She found Legend on the opposite side of the silent room. When she showed him her prize, he smiled. Neither of them knew if it would have the information they needed. But Tella finally felt victorious as Legend took her hand again. After the Maiden Death and the Assassin had visited his home in the Spice Quarter, Legend had decided they needed to move every night. But a part of Tella thought he was just showing off his many homes. His four-story coastal cottage looked as if it had been built around the same time as Count Nicholas's estate. But whereas Nicholas's estate had appeared as if it was in need of magic, Legend's house was the opposite. Full of glittering windows and expansive balconies that looked over the foaming ocean, the house sat on Valenda's rocky coast the way that Tella imagined Legend would have sat on his throne, demanding attention by simply being there. They'd started about a mile away, and Legend's fingers stayed entwined with hers for the entire walk. She should have broken free. Earlier, his touch had grounded her, as he pulled her through the spiders and steadied her in the library. But now he wasn't helping. He was making a claim. Tella reminded herself that nothing good could come from this as she looked down on their clasped hands. But she didn't let go. He had long fingers, strong palms, neatly trimmed nails, and no traces of ink. She lifted their hands, peering closer. Your black rose is gone?
Did you really think I'd keep it?
He dragged her hand up to his mouth and brushed a kiss to her knuckles.
You don't have to be jealous of the tattoo anymore.
I wasn't jealous.
Then maybe I should have left it on longer.
The rose appeared on the back of his hand.
You're wretched.
Tella lifted her free hand to playfully smack him with her book. He caught her wrist before she could, and then he took her other hand and trapped them both behind her. They'd finally reached the porch of his cottage, and in one quick move, he spun her around and pressed her back to the door.
I think you like me because I'm terrible.
No, Tella wiggled against him, but he didn't budge. I've decided I like nice boys, like Kaspar.
Lucky for me, he doesn't like girls that way.
And I can also be nice. But I think you like it when I'm not. He freed her wrist and wrapped his hands around her hips. Tella's heart raced as his fingers spread out, claiming her as he drew her closer. Maybe one more kiss wouldn't hurt. Waves crashed against the nearby coast, filling the air with salt and damp, while Legend continued leaning. The door behind her opened wide. Tella stumbled backward, and she might have fallen if not for Legend's arms tightening around her.
Sorry about that.
Julian ran a hand through his hair, looking mildly embarrassed, though she sensed he actually wasn't. There was something hard in his eyes that wasn't normally there. And was it Tella's imagination, or was he refusing to look at her? He'd promised Legend he'd stay away from the menagerie where Scarlet was being kept, but knowing Julian, he was finding ways to meet with Jovan, who was supposed to be watching her sister. Is Scarlet all right? Tella asked. Julian finally looked at her, and he even managed to smile. But Tella couldn't shake the feeling something was wrong.
I just need to talk to my brother.
Legend's arm slowly left her waist.
I'll find you when we're done,
he whispered. Tella stepped inside the house and shut the door behind her. But she couldn't bring herself to go up the curving wooden staircase to her bedroom just yet. If Julian was lying and Scarlet wasn't all right, if she'd been hurt trying to get Gavriel's blood, or if she wasn't able to get it at all, Tella didn't want to be protected from the information. She stood close to the door, hands pressed against the warm wood, but there was only silence, save for the ocean waves. Wondering if the brothers were giving her a chance to walk out of earshot, she took a few noisy steps from the door and quickly tiptoed back in time to hear Julian say,
"What are you doing with Tella?"
She jolted at the sound of her name, her alarm taking a new direction as she moved closer and peered through the door's spy hole. Legend's response was too low for her to hear, but she could see his expression. His dark brows slashed down, and the look in his eyes shuddered.
I know you don't love her, Julian said.
Tella staggered back a step. She already knew Legend didn't love her, but the way Julian said the words made it sound so much worse. It didn't matter that his voice was soft. The words were like a period at the end of a sentence, small but absolute in their power.
If you care about her at all, then you should let her go, rather than try to change her.
Silence. Tella dared to look through the spy hole once more. The sun was almost set. Night was taking over the sky as Legend looked down on his brother with something like an accusation.
That's her choice to make, not yours. Although you didn't object when I told you that a blood oath could make you ageless. And I hate myself for it sometimes.
Julian's voice turned harsh.
I hate not just watching you lose yourself, piece by piece, but benefiting from it. Then I saw you with Tella.
I thought maybe after you saved her from the deck, you would change.
Tella held her breath, but nothing about Legend changed. He looked like the Legend who'd left her on the steps in front of the Temple of the Stars, closed off and cold and utterly unreachable.
If I changed, I'd be dead.
You don't know that, Julian argued. Maybe you would have just done things differently. You're careless with your life. You take chances because you know you can't die. That's fine if that's how you want to live, but don't be careless with her life.
He looked up at his brother, brown hair, sheltering eyes that appeared to be waging a battle between abandon and hope.
Do you remember what the game was like when it first began?
I try not to.
You should. It was fun.
It was barely a traveling carnival, Legend mumbled.
Julian smiled, as if hope had just won.
It was, but it still inspired people to dream and believe in magic. It made me believe in magic.
Legend eyed his brother as if he'd lost his mind.
You know magic is real.
Just because something is real doesn't mean you believe in it.
The fates are real, but I don't put my faith in them.
I used to put my faith in you, and I want to do it again. I know you can be better than this.
Legend laughed, but it sounded so far from humorous that it made Tella sad, not just for Legend, but for all of them.
When did you become such an idealist?
When I met a girl who loved her sister so much, she was able to wish her back to life.
You might possess magic, but love like that is real power.
And yet all the love in the world wouldn't have brought Tella back without my magic.
She never would have died without your magic either.
Julian's smile disappeared.
Tella would have found another way. She didn't and doesn't need you to save her. She needs to save you.
Chapter 42. Scarlet. Scarlet stared in the mirror that rested above her marble pink vanity and tried not to cry at what she saw.
Tella wouldn't have cried.
Tella would have willed her pain into power and used it to find a way to fix everything, no matter the cost. Scarlet could do that too. She could do it for her sister, for Julian, for everyone in the Empire, and for herself, even if it felt impossible at the moment.
At least her sister and Julian couldn't see her right now.
Scarlet continued to stare at her new reflection in the mirror, as her thoughts took her back to the night before, after she'd delivered her last note to Tella and Julian, when everything had gone so awry. Once a day, since Scarlet had first arrived in the menagerie, the lady prisoner's purple eyes turned milky white, letting Scarlet know she was glimpsing a fragment of the future as she told Scarlet,
"The only way to defeat the fallen star is to become what he wants most."
But all the fallen star wanted from Scarlet was for her to conquer her powers and control the emotions of others. And her original plan had been to do just that, to cultivate her powers to change his feelings and make him love her, so that he would become mortal. But over the last couple of days, the fallen star had made it clear that if Scarlet mastered her abilities, it would be the catalyst that would turn her into an immortal fate. He'd told her this to encourage her to conquer her powers. But Scarlet knew that once she was an immortal, she would no longer be able to love. Love was such a fundamental part of what drove her. She didn't even know who she'd be without love. What if it made her like her father, who only wanted power? So despite Anissa's warning, Scarlet had planned to get the blood that Tella and Julian needed for their fated book.
"Are you certain you want to go through with this?" asked the lady prisoner. I can't lie, so if I make a threat, I have to be willing to follow through. And if he catches you, your magical key won't get you out of one of his cages.
I know, Scarlet said. But if this works, neither of us will have to worry about being caged at all. Which was one of the reasons she'd chosen to trust the fate. Scarlet didn't believe Anissa's concern for her was genuine, but she did believe that Anissa wanted out of her cage.
I think this will work, but if you're having second thoughts... Gavriel and I have had skirmishes like this for decades.
The lady prisoner hopped off her perch to move closer to Scarlet.
I can handle whatever he throws my way.
So can I, Scarlet said, feigning confidence she didn't feel as she dropped the wine glass from her hand, shattering it against the marble floor. Sharp shards of glass landed around her feet while garnet wine spread out, staining the hem of Scarlet's pink dress as the lady prisoner reached through her bars and picked up the largest glass fragment. A moment later, Scarlet cried out, loud enough to alert the guard outside her door. He clattered in an instant later. One look at Scarlet, forced against Anissa's cage, as Anissa reached through the bars to press a shard of glass against Scarlet's neck, and a moldy green cloud of fear formed around the guard as he reached for his sword.
I wouldn't do that unless you want me to kill her.
The lady prisoner tilted her spike of broken glass to the most defenseless part of Scarlet's throat.
Now, she went on conversationally, fetch Gavriel. Tell him what you've seen, and that if he doesn't come here right now, I'll slit his daughter's throat.
The guard immediately did as he was told. Like Scarlet, he knew the lady prisoner couldn't lie.
I hope this works, the fate whispered once he left. I really wouldn't enjoy killing you.
I don't particularly want to die, Scarlet said, hoping she hadn't overestimated her value to the fallen star. Scarlet knew that he didn't care for her, and he certainly didn't love her, but based on the amount of time he spent each day working with her to conquer her powers, she knew that he very much cared about her abilities and what she could do for him. And yet her palms began to sweat as he stepped inside. Scarlet didn't know, and didn't want to know, what the fallen star had been doing. But there was blood spatter on his bone-white shirt and fury in his eyes. The room grew hotter as it filled with the violent red sparks surrounding him.
Use your fire on me and I'll kill her, the lady prisoner called from behind her bars. If you want her, come get her yourself.
Scarlet didn't have to pretend to tremble at the words. Because of the lady prisoner's inability to lie, if the fallen star did use his flames, then she would be compelled to follow through with her threats. But both Scarlet and the lady prisoner had agreed on the risk. If the fallen star used his fire, then he would defeat Anissa before she was able to stab him with the broken glass and collect the blood that Scarlet needed. Gavriel's sparks disappeared and he crossed the room faster than Scarlet could blink. She stumbled to the side as the lady prisoner shoved her out of the way and sliced the fallen star's throat with her glass. The cut was bloody and perfect. Too perfect. But Scarlet wouldn't realize that until later. She ran to the fallen star as he dropped to his knees and pressed her handkerchief against his bleeding throat to collect his spilling blood as he closed his eyes and died.
It was the ugliest thing Scarlet had ever done. Was this what it was to be a fate?
It lasted less than a minute, but it felt like an eternity before his golden eyes closed and his body went limp. Scarlet couldn't stop her legs or her hands from shaking. She knew they hadn't killed him forever, though he deserved it. He'd killed her mother and countless others. Still, it felt wrong. And Scarlet was already imagining what the fallen star would do in his fury when he did come back to life. She needed to move quickly. She dripped blood across the marble floors as she ran to the bathing room with the bloodied cloth to squeeze the fallen star's blood into a vial.
Why hadn't she thought to hide the vial somewhere on her person to have right at his throat?
Drip, drip. It was taking too long to fill the vial. Drip, drip, drip.
What are you doing with that, Autara?
Scarlet's eyes shot up to the bathing room mirror, her trembling limbs turning to liquid. The fallen star stood behind her like a bronze statue that had been sliced open. His skin was pale as the dead, and his neck was still bloody, but he was very much alive. Had he been pretending? Or did he just recover that fast? He knocked the vial to the ground, shattering the glass, and wrapped a hand around her throat, choking off her air.
Disappointed I'm not dead.
Please, Scarlet rasped. I only took the blood because I thought if I drank it, then maybe it would help me finally conquer my magic.
Then you should have just asked. I would have given it to you, Autara. But now I have to give you something else instead.
His fingers squeezed her throat again, and her world went dark. When Scarlet woke later on, her head felt too heavy to move, and there was something tight around her neck, grating against her skin.
The cage will probably take a while to get used to.
The fallen star's voice held a hint of diversion. Scarlet's eyes flashed open to a world of red. There were vertical rows of ruby-red beads fitted around her head. He'd imprisoned her in a cage. A sob shook her chest. She tried to rip it off. Her fingers tore at the gems, tried to bend their bars and rip them off, but they were ineffectual. And soon she was weeping too hard to do anything else. The fallen star reached in between the ruby bars to stroke Scarlet's damp cheek.
Don't betray me again. My punishment won't be so kind next time.
The memory faded as Scarlet looked in her vanity mirror. The ruby cage encasing her head looked like the bloody cousin to the cage worn by the maiden Death. But rather than looking powerful, like that fate always did in Decks of Destiny, Scarlet thought that she looked entirely powerless. She hadn't been able to sleep wearing it, so there were deep circles beneath her eyes, and since her hair had been down when he'd put it on, strands of her dark hair stuck to her throat, held in place by the unmoving collar of the cage. Anissa had tried to tell her it was pretty, and that it matched her scarlet earrings. They'd once been a treasured gift from her mother. "Your father gave these to me," she said, "because scarlet was my favorite color." They used to make Scarlet think that Marcello Dragna, the father who'd raised her, had once been a better man. But Scarlet realized her mother must have been referring to the fallen star. Scarlet tried not to think about her mother, but for once, she wished she could go back in time to talk to her and ask her what to do. Scarlet hadn't contacted Julian and her sister. She'd been too ashamed and embarrassed to slip them a note, letting them know that she'd failed in getting the blood. And she didn't want them to see her like this, even for a second. Scarlet knew that she had to be even more careful now. She couldn't risk using the reverie key unless it was an emergency. She couldn't make another mistake, and she couldn't run away. If Scarlet wanted to save herself and everyone else before the fallen star took the throne the day after tomorrow, she had only one choice left: to conquer her power and use it to make him love her. She took a deep breath and left her bedchamber to meet him. Tonight he was dressed in brown leather pants, a loose white shirt, and a pale gold cape that matched the victorious gleam in his eyes. He'd been in an excellent mood ever since he'd placed the cage around Scarlet's head. He liked being able to demonstrate just how much power he had over her. But tonight he appeared almost boyish in his excitement. When Scarlet took a seat beside him on the marble bench near Anissa's cage, he grinned and stroked the curving ruby bars surrounding Scarlet's face.
"My fates have finished tracking down the members of the Royal Council. Now all their severed heads are sitting on pikes at the docks. There are no more barriers to stop me from claiming the throne tomorrow night."
tomorrow, Scarlet tried to keep the panic from her voice. I thought you were waiting another day.
I've never been good at being patient.
He jumped up from his seat.
But don't worry. To help prepare you for tomorrow's coronation, I've brought a gift that I'm hoping will aid you in finally conquering your abilities.
The fallen star called for his personal guard to open the door, and a young woman, who looked as if someone had taken a magic cloth to wipe away half of her coloring, stumbled into the room. Her hair was a faded shade of red, and her skin was pallid white, with dull black tattoos peeking out from beneath her long black gloves. Yet the colors of her feelings were anything but dim. Vitriolic shades of rotted plum swirled around her in spiteful, enraged circles. The fallen star strode toward his captive the way a hunter might approach trapped prey.
I rescued her from the temple district when it was on fire yesterday. Unfortunately, she's not very grateful. I've already had to punish her. She might be difficult for you to work with, unless you find a way to control her.
He ran a finger down the young woman's cheek. The woman snapped her teeth over his fingers, biting the tips. The fallen star ripped his hand from her mouth before she could draw blood.
Behave.
His voice remained gentle, but his words were followed by a burst of flames that singed the ends of her hair.
If you succeed in controlling her emotions, then I will take that cage off your head. But if you don't, I'm afraid the results will be unpleasant.
His gaze traced the lines of rubies imprisoning Scarlet's head.
I've been wondering if perhaps you haven't conquered your powers because you've lacked the proper motivation. Hopefully you have it now. I'll come back in the morning to view your progress. And for your sake, Autara, I really hope there is progress.
Chapter 43. Donatella. Tella couldn't sleep. She tossed and turned until she'd ripped all the cool silk sheets off her bed. But as soon as she did, they rearranged themselves, tucking her back in. She didn't know what kind of glamour it was, but she knew it was somehow Legend's doing. He was so frustrating and confusing and impossible not to think about. He hadn't come to see her after his conversation with Julian. And now that Jax had taken away his ability to meet Tella in her dreams, she knew she wouldn't see him there either. But even if he had, she didn't know what was left to say.
She needs to save you.
But Legend didn't want to be saved the way Julian wanted him to be. And Tella didn't know if she could really save him, or if she might just become the reason he died and didn't come back to life. She sat up, abandoning the idea of sleep, and pulled back the delicate blue curtains that surrounded her canopy bed. Everything in the room had a dreamlike quality, from the sparkling chandeliers to the fur-thick rugs and extraordinarily fluffy cushions on her chairs. She imagined that, like the sheets that tucked themselves back in, it was all mostly an illusion, but she enjoyed it just the same. Padding over the soft floors, she wandered to the Rusica sitting on her desk. It glowed faintly, full of faded power. But unless Scarlet appeared with the fallen star's blood, none of that power would be unlocked, and they'd have no way of defeating the fallen star. Her mother's death would go unavenged. Valenda would burn. And Scarlet... Tella stopped her runaway thoughts before they went too far. Scarlet might not have appeared with the blood yet, but the night had only just begun. It was too soon to worry. She was probably going to come later, with or without the blood. Scarlet possessed a magical key, and if something had gone wrong, she'd have used it to escape. Tella ran her fingers over the ancient cover of the Rusica. She'd never even opened it, and yet she was putting a lot of faith in it. She wished she didn't need blood to read it, but when she opened the book, her wish didn't come true. The pages were blank
and untouched. Tella eyed the writing set on her desk. The nib of the glass-tipped pen was sharp enough to draw blood. Jax had said she needed the Fallen Star's blood to read his story, but Jax was rarely entirely honest. Curious, Tella pricked her finger with the pen nib and let the blood drip into an ink bowl, filling it with red, until there was enough to write inside the magic book.
Tell me a story.
She watched as her blood soaked into the paper and slowly reformed into a new set of curving words. Welcome to the life of Donatella Dragna. Not what she'd hoped for. Tella already knew this story, and yet she was curious to read what the book said about her. A table of contents formed beneath the greeting. She'd have expected it to mark her life in years, but the table favored significant events. They appeared to be listed in order of their occurrence. Some were obvious, like the birth of Donatella Dragna, Donatella and Scarlet's mother vanishes, and Donatella's first kiss. But she was surprised by some of the other captions. Donatella spends a week pretending she's a mermaid. Donatella steals a goat and names him Cuddles. Donatella steals all her sister's underclothes. Donatella writes her first letter to legend. Donatella marries the Prince of Hearts. Tella's blood ran cold. She looked back over the table of contents to see if there was anything else that wasn't true. But none of the other claims were false. Maybe the book had a sense of humor, like the map of all. Or maybe Jax had given her a fake map that led to a fake library where she'd gotten this fake book. She hadn't married Jax. Tella wasn't married. She wasn't even sure she ever wanted to get married. According to the table of contents, the event happened right after her mother had died. Tella violently flipped through the book until she found the dreaded chapter in question. She read each word carefully, but there were sections that stood out more than others. If her heart had not been so heavy with grief and pain, Donatella would have known better than to trust the Prince of Hearts. If she'd not been burning with despair, she would have realized the danger in repeating magical words as her blood mingled with his. If she'd not just watched her mother die, she would have known that the Prince of Hearts was not taking her grief away because he cared. The Prince of Hearts did not know how to care. He only knew how to take what he wanted. And he wanted Donatella Dragna. But poor Donatella was too grief-stricken to see it. When he told her to speak, she repeated his words, creating an immortal bond that would forever tie their souls together in eternal matrimony. No way in all the hells. Tella didn't want to believe it, but a part of her felt it. If she was being really honest, she'd felt it since the night it had happened, when she'd decided to lie there with him, to sleep beside him instead of leave. She'd felt it again when she'd gone back the next day to ask for help, and again when she'd felt so betrayed and so hurt by him after he had nearly killed her, when all she should have been was angry. If it had been a human wedding, she'd have just slammed the book shut and pretended it had never happened. But this wasn't something she could ignore or pretend away. This was an immortal bond that would tie her soul to Jax forever. Chapter 44. Donatella. Tella didn't care that it was in the middle of the night, that she'd forgotten her cloak, or that the streets of Valenda were far more dangerous than they'd ever been now that the fates had taken over. She marched to Jax as if she were deadlier than anything she might encounter. Once at the door, she pounded her fist and then stormed inside the moment it opened. A riot of clacking and clicking and clapping assaulted her immediately. It seemed that rather than hiding from the fates, half the city had just come here. Tella wondered if Jax had altered their feelings to get them there, or if all of them were as foolish as she was. Heavily perfumed bodies brushed against her as she moved through the crush. The last time she'd been at Jax, it had been mostly men. But tonight the gentlemen were outnumbered by the ladies. All of them were coiffed and clean. None of them were covered in sweat like Tella. A horrid spike of jealousy shot through her at the thought that she might find Jax with his arms around another girl. But was she really jealous? Or did she have that sudden feeling just because they were immortally married? Married! Tella still couldn't believe it. She'd flirted with trusting him again after he'd given her the map. But she never should have trusted him enough to let him trick her like this in the first place.
Aren't you full of fire tonight?
The lively crowd parted as Mistress Luck strode closer to Tella, all green velvet-clad curves and cryptic eyes.
Seems you really can't stay away from him.
Where is he? Tella spat. The fate pointed toward a wall covered in black and white hearts.
There's a door hidden there.
It will take you to the gaming room where Jax likes to play. But Tella strode off without hearing the woman's warning. It wouldn't have mattered what she'd said. Tella tore through the door and down a set of stairs, which landed her inside a room that looked as if it had been attacked by a deck of playing cards. Everything was black and white with violent hints of red. The white walls were striped with crooked lines of glittering red spades, while the floor looked as if someone had plucked handfuls of clubs, diamonds, and hearts and tossed them everywhere. In the center of the room, the heavy round table was equally wild, piled high with chips, cards, bits of jewelry, a few fancy shirts, and half-empty bottles of liquor. The chairs encircling it were full of gamblers, all in various states of undress, explaining the clothes mixed with the chips. The only one who remained mostly dressed was Jax. He'd lost his jacket from earlier, discarded his gold cravat, and his shirt was open, missing all of its diamond-sharp buttons.
"Everyone out!" Tella shouted.
A dozen heads turned her way, intoxicated faces all wearing various shades of surprise, save for Jax. His silver-blue eyes met hers expectantly, and then he grinned like the devil he was. He'd known this moment was coming.
"Hello, wife."
Still looking at her, Jax gave a lazy wave of his hand toward the table.
"Ladies and gentlemen, I'd introduce you to my bride, but I think I'd rather kick you out so we can chat in private."
Tella expected a few murmurs of protest, but Jax must have been using his newly restored powers to control everyone's emotions. There were no objections from the group, and within a minute, his court of half-naked gamblers was on the stairs.
"That was quite an appearance."
Jax leaned into his winged chair and kicked one scuffed brown boot onto the table.
"Have you come to consummate the—"
Tella launched herself at him before he could finish. His chair fell back, bringing both of them with it.
"You foul, heartless, wretched, cheating, manipulative, apple-sucking demon!"
The curses were inelegant, not nearly as dirty as they should have been, and her blows were ineffective. He'd easily caged her wrists in his cool hands, so she didn't even hit him. But it felt good to fight him. It felt good to wrestle against his grip.
"You tricked me into marrying you!"
"You begged me to help you."
"I wanted you to take my emotions away, not make me your wife!"
"But I've been a good husband. I told you how to find the vanished market. I gave you that faded map."
"You also threatened to kill me, and you nearly did!"
Tella panted as she finally ripped her wrists free from his icy hands. She would have tried to hit him again, but she needed to stop touching him. She pulled herself from him. Then she shoved up from the ground until she towered over him. He wasn't even breathing heavily. He just looked up at her as if he were a misbehaving angel with gold hair hanging across his pale forehead.
I want you to undo it, she demanded. I want the marriage revoked, and then I never want to see you again.
Why would I agree to that? He droned. There's nothing really in this solution for me.
You want to be married to someone that hates you?
Maybe I like the intensity of it.
He grinned at her as he pushed up from the floor, leaving the chair lying between them. Tella could barely breathe, she was so furious. She would have walked out if she could have, but this marriage wasn't something she could ignore or pretend away. Even now she could feel it in the way she hated him. Fiery and all-consuming, so much stronger now that he was standing in front of her like her own personal villain.
If you don't undo this, I swear I will kill you.
She stepped over the chair until they were so close she had to crane her neck to look up at his sharp face.
If I remain your wife, I promise that I will make you fall in love with me. I will become everything you've ever wanted, and the moment you are mortal, I'll stab the closest sharp object through your chest and end your heartbeat once and for all.
Don't be so dramatic, Jack sighed. If you want out of the marriage, there's a simpler way to do it.
He reached in his boot and pulled out a dagger. Tella scrambled back, nearly tripping on the fallen chair.
Don't worry, my love. It's for you to use on me.
He flipped the dagger in his hand and held the hilt toward her.
Immortal matrimony cannot be undone with signatures and pieces of paper. To sever our connection, you have to wound me.
And doing that will undo the marriage?
Undoing it implies it never happened.
Jack's voice switched from sharp to dull in a flash.
What's done cannot be undone, but it can be severed. All you have to do is use the knife and say the words, Tersid atai est detarum.
He stepped over the chair until the space between them was gone once again. Tella cautiously accepted the blade. It was the same jeweled dagger they'd used the night he'd taken her emotions, when he'd also married her. She slowly tipped it toward Jack's throat. He didn't flinch. He didn't even appear to breathe, though his lips remained parted as he looked her directly in the eyes, his gaze the saddest shade of blue she'd ever seen. She didn't believe it was real. And yet, the look on his face was so convincing, it made her wonder just enough to hesitate.
Should I make this easier for you?
He spread his shirt apart, baring his chest of smooth, sculpted skin, like marble with a heartbeat. She could hear the rapid pulse of it as it moved in tandem with hers, pounding harder with every breath she took. When they first met, his heart hadn't beat at all. Then it started again, because of her. She gripped the dagger tighter, but didn't make another move.
Why are you hesitating, my love?
Why are you making this so easy?
You think this is easy for me?
Jax leaned forward until his skin pressed against the blade. For once, he didn't smell like apples. He smelled like liquor and heartache, and when he spoke, his words were almost too soft to hear.
You think it's in my nature to be kind?
There's nothing kind about what you did to me.
You're right, he whispered. What I did was purely selfish. So stab me before I decide to be selfish again. The longer we're bound together, the more difficult it will be for you to fight it. You might hate me, but you'll find yourself wanting and needing to be near me. So if you really wish to end this, do it now. Cut me and sever everything that ties us together.
Sweat slicked the jeweled hilt in Tella's hands. She wanted to do this. She wanted to slash him and be done. But something about the words, sever everything that ties us, gave her pause. Maybe he'd known all along that as soon as she found out they were married, she'd come here demanding that he end it.
Maybe that's why he was giving in so easily. Because that's what he actually wanted, to sever everything that tied them together. She was supposed to be his true love. She was the one who made his heart beat again, which meant she was also his greatest weakness. If I do this, if I sever our connection, will I still be your true love?
Why would you care?
Jack's lips thinned, as if he couldn't wait to be rid of her. But the look in his eyes said he wanted to devour her.
I imagine after today you won't be kissing me again.
Just answer the question, Jax. In a flash, he wrapped his cool hand around her shaking one and dragged the dagger lower, creating a line of pink skin as he moved it to the center of his chest.
I don't know if you're my true love, Donatella. All I know is that I want you to be.
His hands left the dagger and slid around her waist. For a moment, she couldn't move. His fingers were colder than they had ever been, creating chills that went deep beneath her skin.
I know what I did was wrong, but if you're looking for a sad story where I justify what I've done, you're not going to find it. I'm the villain, even in my own story.
But you were supposed to play a different role. Misery filled his eyes. You were supposed to be my true love.
You were supposed to want me, not him. You were supposed to be as obsessed with me as I am with you.
He gripped her even tighter, the dagger threatening to pierce his skin as he leaned his cool forehead against hers.
If you're holding back from ending this because you think I'll kill you or hurt you once our connection is severed, that thought could not be further from the truth. When I told Legend I'd kill you if he didn't give me the power I needed, I didn't mean it. I wouldn't have done it.
A part of me even hoped he'd say no, so that you would walk away from him and choose me.
I'm selfish, and I want you. But I would never harm you.
You already have, Tella said, and then she slashed his chest with the dagger. Chapter 45. Donatella. It was only supposed to hurt him, but Tella doubled over in agony as the knife pierced Jack's skin and she said the words to free herself. Her ribs and heart were suddenly on fire. She couldn't breathe. It felt as if someone had ripped into her chest and taken something vital. Her vision blurred, and when it finally returned, the entire card room was out of focus, except for Jax. For the rest of her life, whenever she thought about heartbreak, she would see the way he looked at her. His arms had fallen away from her. His face was twisted in pain. Blood-red tears leaked from his eyes. But he wasn't clutching his open wound or doing anything to stop the blood traveling down his chest and puddling on the floor. Tella knew she'd made the right choice, but it didn't feel at all as she'd expected.
Why are you still here?
He fell back onto a chair, still letting the blood from his chest drip everywhere. It wasn't a fatal wound, but it was deeper than she'd intended. Tella didn't like the idea of killing him, even if it was temporary. You should do something about that. She stepped toward him, ready to stop the flow herself.
Don't.
Jax shoved out a shaky hand, the look in his eyes now cold as frost and curses.
You should leave. You got what you wanted.
But Tella was no longer sure what she'd just gotten. She should have felt triumphant. She'd never wanted to be connected to Jax. And yet her legs shook with every step she took away from Jax and his house. For a split second, it was tempting to go back and undo what she'd just done. She had, without realizing it, felt just a little bit less alone when they'd been connected. But he wasn't the person she wanted to be connected to. A tremor racked her body and something like a cramp tore at her stomach. There was an emptiness inside that she'd never felt before. With every house Tella passed, she pictured the people sleeping inside.
She imagined husbands and wives huddled close. She saw sisters sharing rooms and boys with dogs at the foot of their beds. But Tella didn't have a dog. Tella had a sister, but her sister now had someone else. And Legend would never be Tella's husband. In truth, Tella wasn't even sure that she wanted a husband. She just wanted him. She wanted everything about him. She'd always wanted everything about him. Even before she'd known him, she'd fallen in love with the boy who'd had the passion to make his one wish come true and the audacity to call himself Legend. Then she'd fallen in love with him again when she'd met him. She'd loved him as Dante, but she'd loved him even more as Legend. Dante had helped her forget, but Legend had taught her how to dream again, and she loved all the dazzling dreams they shared and the exquisite lies he told with his illusions. But she loved the imperfect truth of him just as much. She loved how protective he was, and how playful he could be. She loved the boy who'd called her an angel and a devil in the same conversation. She loved the way he teased her, and she didn't want him to ever stop. She wanted to hear the rest of his stories, and to become a part of those stories. But more than any of those things, she wanted to forever be by his side, whether he was with her as she was fighting a nightmare or chasing a dream, or if it was the other way around, and she was helping him achieve a new dream, even if that meant sacrificing one of her dreams. Maybe that was love. All this time, she'd wanted him to love her, and she'd hurt knowing that he hadn't. But maybe she hadn't really been loving him. She'd chosen him. She'd fought for him. She'd felt for him. But she hadn't been willing to sacrifice what she wanted for him. Tella started running toward the coast, racing back toward Legend's house, her heart beating faster when she was finally near enough to hear the crashing ocean waves. It was past the middle of the night, on its way to dawn, but not there yet. It was that peculiar period of time that wasn't quite night or morning, but something in between. If Scarlet had been there, she would have urged Tella to think on it longer. But what if Tella didn't have time to waste? That week alone, she'd seen her mother murdered, Legend die, her sister kidnapped, and the Empire overrun by fates. She couldn't even imagine what the coming days would bring if the Fallen Star ascended to the throne. But she'd rather go through them, knowing that no matter what, she had a present and a future. A forever with Legend. Tella slipped inside the house and quickly darted into a bathing room to wash the blood from her hands. She thought about putting on a new dress as well. The mirror showed a girl with wild curls and a hastily thrown-on sapphire blue gown, but Tella was too impatient to change. She raced up staircase after staircase. By the time she reached the fourth floor, she was breathless. The hallway leading to Legend's room was dim with night, but she could see delicate strands of light sneaking out of the cracks beneath his door. She knocked softly, then a little louder. Somewhere in the distance, waves were still crashing, but there was no sound coming from inside Legend's room. She tried the doorknob, not actually expecting that someone as private or secretive as Legend would keep his door unlocked, but the glass knob turned easily. Tella felt a thrill race across her shoulders. She'd never been in any of his private rooms, not during Caraval, not at the palace, not since he'd brought her to any of his houses. She was almost positive he'd cast an illusion over her own bedroom to suit her tastes. But as she entered his rooms, the only glamour she saw was the light. There wasn't a single lit candle in sight, yet globes of soft yellow and white lights danced around, making everything glow. From where she stood, Tella could see his illuminated bedroom and his sitting room. His suite was well appointed, but simpler than she would have expected. Before knowing him, she might have imagined Legend's sitting room lined with sumptuous red velvet curtains and full of low cushions for seductive rendezvous. But there wasn't a speck of velvet in sight. There weren't any low cushions or curtains either.
Impeccable floor-to-ceiling windows provided a spellbinding view of the ocean while letting waxy moonlight slide over the ebony floors, the neat desk, the full bookshelves, and the wide charcoal couches. Everything looked so perfect. Tella imagined she might smudge it if she stepped fully into the room. She tiptoed past into what was clearly Legend's bedroom. His bed took up nearly half the space, and with its heavy iron frame and black silk sheets, it was exactly what she would have expected. Legend lay in the middle of it. His shirt was gone, and he was on his stomach, sheets low enough to reveal the exquisite wings tattooed on his beautiful back. Tella couldn't have held